care how you do it, as long as you do it.
With it, if your sponsor's got, you do an extended third column with an additional two columns after, bop to your drop. The end results are going to be the same. You with us? People don't relapse because they work the steps different than me. They relapse because they didn't work the damn steps at all. That's been my experience. What you got?
If I hadn't put myself on my inventory, I'd be in pretty bad shape. But my first sponsor told me to just put myself on my inventory. And I'd be dead if I did that.
Is it,
I got a take on that, but that's just...
You got a minute. I got you. Yeah. I got you. You got a minute. Bottom line is, we finish this little inventory, give them a week, we sit down, we set some time out. I give Meyer, just like Meyer says, we give them the directions on how we're going to do this. You're with us? It's going to be fast and furious. They're getting all rolled up, and they want to tell you all the little details. Buddy, shut up. Read this damn thing. Read this thing. We're going to go from point A to point B, and then we're going to go to the next, and we're going to go to the next, and we're going to go to the next. You with us? We're looking for truth. The person that does the longest inventory is not the success person here. It's the person that gets to see their truth. Y'all follow? The more I'm talking, exactly what Meyer says, the more I'm rationalizing why I got goofy to begin with.
What do you mean by an extended third column?
We don't have time to talk about it. Uh-huh. Come see me after, and I'll talk to you about it. It's not in the book. I'm saying a lot of people out there do things different ways, and I'm not saying they're wrong. I'm just saying I try to stick as close to the book as I can get. You make sense? Mm-hmm. We sit down an hour later. While I do a fifth step with somebody, I don't know if you do it this way, but when I sit down, I got a piece of paper, and on one side I've got eight. I draw a little line, and I got character defect. And while the guy's giving me this fifth step, I'm steady writing down who I think you owe amends to. You with me? We're not talking about it now because it's not the time of the play. I'm just writing them down. Because it's from my fifth step that I got my eighth step list. You with us? And it's from my fifth step that I get my character defects list for six and seven. You'll follow? Mm-hmm. And we'll get it. We'll go over the character defects. An hour later, gets on his knees, does a seven-step prayer. We get on down the damn road. It's God that removes the character defects, folks. I know some of you will disagree. I've sat in day-long lectures and listened to people talk about 6 and 7. It just freaks the fuck out of me. Excuse the language, but Jesus, guys, it's two paragraphs. How complicated can this be? You can not agree if you want to. I'm working on 6 and 7. I'm working on 6. What are you doing? Practicing your character defect? I try diligently not to do the same things I've been doing over and over and over again. I try to do that. But it's God that's the one that removes those character defects. It's God the one that changes us.
What
you got, Boom?
I have a question about inventory on like yourself. I've always been confused about like, do you do a full four columns on yourself?
Yes.
Do you like, I'm pissed at myself because, and then my part is...
I did it. Own it. Why did you do it?
Oh, why did you do it? Oh, okay. I just thought it was like, confused, like, what goes on the second, what goes on the fourth, with it's myself.
Why did we do it? My part. I was resentful. I was full of selfish and self-centeredness. But it's just not that complicated. Knock it out. You with it? I had a guy at the hospital a couple of months ago, a case manager, that said, told the patients, if they didn't have at least 200 names on their inventory, they weren't doing a thorough inventory. And some of you are not making any response at all because you said, God damn, I had 600 names on mine. It's the point I'm making, guys. It's the point I'm making. Some of you are going to have a bunch. Some of you are not going to have as many. We all didn't get raised the same way. Some of us learned to deal with that stuff better than others. You with us? Chuck, did you have a question real quick? Did you have a question?
Six steps, four sentences, two questions. If you did one through five, it's yes and yes. Or is that too quick?
But I'm bummed. I'm in 100% agreement. It's just quick, fast. Y'all cool with this?
Yeah.
An hour after, I still hear people in meetings. I'm working on six and seven. Unless you did your fifth step an hour ago, we're in trouble. Let's get it done. You know? Now what are we going to do? We've got our eight-step list. This goes back to what the little gentleman was talking about earlier. My eight-step list, I'm going to go over with a sponsor. Who do I owe amends to, and who should I stay away from when hurting others, when going through with this would harm others? You with us? And yourself is not others. This is tough, guys, because I'm telling you, I've done, like my brother, hundreds of fist tests with people, and I watch them crap out on making amends. They've got all this information, they know exactly what they need to do, and then they're going to sit there on their asses in an AA meeting and wait for that person to come to them so they can make amends. That's not what the book says. The book says I seek out those people. I go find... I'm the one laying in bed grinding my teeth over them, full of guilt. How am I going to clean it up? I'm going to go tell them how I was wrong. I'm going to try to set that matter straight. It's not about apologizing, folks. I'm sorry. That's not an amend.
Right or wrong.
They know you are sorry. Most of us, because we got caught.
What do you do when you're watching them crap out on their ass? You know, how do you typically handle it when your guys are...
Open the title page of my book where I had them write, I'm willing to go to any length. Buddy, you said you were willing to go to any length.
And then they still do it. You give deadlines?
We keep them motivated. Some of these guys have got lots of... It's kind of difficult to ask a guy that's just getting out of treatment who hasn't got a penny to go make those thousands of dollars worth of amends that they owe. It's kind of... I mean, you can't squeeze blood out of a turnip. But what the book says, we make a first approach. We talk to these cats and we set it up. In other words, I don't avoid my creditors. I call the stupid credit card company and say, buddy, I know I owe you this money. This is what I can do. I can pay you $10 a month, whatever it is. You set it up, and then you follow through with it. Alcoholics and addicts, we're all goddamn grandiose. I want to write you this $50,000 check. Here's the money I owe you. How cool would that be? That I owed... Y'all think I'm lying, guys. I owed everybody. Everybody. And there were people for the next 3 years that had to wait in line for their money. But they got their money. Makes sense? Including the damn IRS. But I faced it. My sponsor was just straight on me about this. You got to follow through with these amendments. You got some stuff on there?
Just real quick. You know, there's this thing called momentum as we're working through this stuff. And you see, and I want you to notice that in your experience with working with guys and gals, you see guys getting healthier. They do their inventory, they're doing the rest of their stuff, and they get ready to approach this thing called amends, and you know almost right away how they're going to do in it. They're already... Guys, there's no getting around it. Amends takes courage. It just takes some guts, man. Sometimes you just got to pull your old, you know, I'm ready, let's go do this thing. And it's never comfortable. If it was comfortable, you'd have done it a long time ago. It's hard to do. But there's nothing that I can think of that is more miraculous. Nothing. There's no more evidence of a miraculous God that's there controlling everything than this process of an amends. The willingness to stand there and make the inventory, to stand there and make a list of the people that had harmed, and then stand there and go, okay, I'm ready. I'll go do this stuff. And we grab ourselves and we just head right on out the door and we pray and we bring... You know, sometimes I think we forget that there are three people involved in that amends. There's you, the guy you screwed over, and God. And sometimes we just trivialize it and discount the fact that there's a loving God right in the middle of that whole process. If God's not there, you're screwed, brother. Because what's going to happen is you're going to take one step backwards, you're going to default right back to what? Selfishness and self-centeredness, and pretty soon, you ever see it, you're justifying your bad behavior. Man, I'm sorry I screwed you over, but...
You were an asshole.
You know what, if you hadn't done what you did, I wouldn't have done it. And pretty soon, you're right back in the same embroiled thing. The book said that we were trying to be of maximum service. We're trying to fit ourselves to be of maximum service. We're trying to fix what we did. And we're waiting for them to give us our marching orders about what it is that we're supposed to do. That woman I screwed over? Who am I in my arrogance to say I know what it's going to take to fix that? I don't. What I can do and what I have control over is to say, you know what? In the clarity of this moment, I see everything that I did to you that harmed you. And I'm painfully aware of how much harm I caused you. I treated you shabbily. Is there anything I can do to make amends for what I did? She'll tell you to go piss up a rope and get out of there, or she'll tell you to, how about spending some time with those kids that you fathered? Okay, what else? Some money would be nice. Terrific. What else? See what I'm saying? I'm just there. I'm waiting for her to say. And everybody wants to project. From the time we sat down in an AA meeting, the day we first sobered up, we read that step and we went, oh, no, no, no. And the walls go up and now we have every preconceived idea in the universe about what we're going to do and what we're not going to do. Right? Completely discounting that we are sane today and that we have recovered from this hopeless state of mind and body and that we are different people. You're as different as night and day. It's night and day. And this thing of trying to operate under preconceived ideas has got to be smashed. We have to just stop that stuff. Just get up in the morning, say it's a new day, let's go out and see what happens. I'll tell you this from personal experience. You won't see it so much in your life as you'll see it in the lives of the men and the women that you sponsor. Those telephone calls where they, oh shit, I get choked up every time I talk about this stuff. The call that comes in the middle of the night going, Myers, I just saw her. Great, tell me about it. And he tells me about it. How'd it go? Buddy, you know what? She told me that she still loved me. Or she told me that I wasn't as bad a guy as I think I am. Or she whatever, however the thing worked out. But the absolute miracle of reconciliation, well, we sometimes stop and forget. We don't think about this thing. This is healing on both sides of the equation. And by me having the willingness to walk up in front of Josh and say, Josh, man, buddy, I treated you shabbily on this stuff. I get God in the middle of the picture. Not only do I get a chance to try to clear off my street that I destroyed there, Josh also has a chance to heal too. The healing is often on both sides. And in my arrogance, if I don't do it, if I hold this process at a distance, I've kept him from having the ability to do it too. The chance to come clean and see, we're both getting well. We're both getting healed. And you see this stuff all the time. You see? Don't miss it.
No.
The willingness to do this work comes as a manifestation of doing the work. And if there are holes in your work, or if there are things that you've intentionally from defiance left out, you'll never have the necessary juju to do the amends. Yep. You'll walk into the amends process cold and flat. Some of you guys have done it, and you'll be going, and you'll be defensive, and you'll be, you see, you know what I'm saying. But you get plugged in and go in there, and then you walk out and you feel like you've been pimp slapped. You just kind of go, holy shit, what happened in there? You know? And you don't know where it came from. You don't need to know where it came from. All you need to know is God was right there doing for you what you couldn't do in a million years, which is smooth over the wreckage of 20 years of drinking. Good stuff.
How free do you want to be? That's what my sponsor says. A lot of you guys know him. How free do you want to be? I want to be free. But not that free. Well, there you go. You got it. But if you want to be free so you can come and go as you please, then that's what you need to do. The book has got 13 pages in there where it specifically says, it tells you, it goes through every scenario. How do you do the XYs? How do you do the money? What if legal stuff's involved? And it gives you all the instructions. We're not going to go take time to go through all that. The instructions are crystal clear. I had a guy call me yesterday. Well, Chris, if I make this amend, I might go to jail. Then you need to talk to your family about it. You need to let them know what's fixing to happen and y'all figure out, do you want to go do this or not? I'm going to tell you something, folks. There's people in jail today that I do the work with that are freer than a bunch of y'all sitting in this room right now. Because they've made their damn amends. Life is long, folks. How free do you want to be? You're walking around and goddamn with a gut full of ulcers and all the side effects come from stress and tension. Where do you think the stress and tension comes from? From you walking on eggshells, worried about who's going to tap you on the shoulder. Hey, buddy, I remember you. Not good. you with us? Pretty simple stuff. It should happen quick. Sometimes these amends take a long time, guys, to make. But if you make your first approach, you can start checking them off your list, guys. There's nothing cooler. I make 4x5 business cards and I, you know, little index cards and put all the pertinent information. And when I make one of those amends, I tear that baby up and go to the next one. You're with us? It's pretty cool to see that stack getting closer. You'll find yourself walking differently because of it. Make sense? It's tough. It really takes courage. Feel cool? Mm-hmm. Let's do 10. I'll make this short and sweet because we got some bigger fish to fry. How many of you guys, y'all will tell me, right? How many of you guys do 10-step work every day? Pretty and truthful. This is good. That's good. That's about.
But let me tell you something. I've asked this same thing in rooms with 600 people in it and had 3 people raise their hand. There's usually not a sponsor standing on your neck making you do 10-step work. There's usually not. And yet it's really funny. I remember one time I've been working with Clifford, the crusty one, for a good bit of time. And he called me one day. We were talking, and he said, hey, let me ask you a question, Mark. Do you ever do anything wrong?
And I said, well, of course I do. Well, who are you calling with your 10-step stuff? And I remember just kind of backing out of the room and going, oh, I should know better than that. And I just, and so, you know, what was really funny was at that particular moment in time, I remember sitting there thinking, you know, going, I don't quite even understand what he's talking about. I've been in this thing a long time, guys, and I'm telling you, but it's just a part that I discounted as something that I didn't need to be doing. But, buddy, when I went back and I read it, let's look at this thing real quick of 84, halfway down the page. This thought brings us to step 10, which suggests we continue to take personal inventory. Great. And we continue to set right any new mistakes as they go along. This is good. We vigorously commence this way of living as we cleaned up the past. Now, here's what we've given carte blanche to take a step out of order. You know, we're supposed to work these things in order. But what the little piece here is telling us is that we're going to have to be doing this 10-step stuff as we do that amend process. It's the only way the juju's going to be there. If I got all this wreckage I'm not dealing with and it, daily it's creeping up, pretty soon I'm so blocked off from the sunlight of the Spirit that I'm back there in this desert trying to make these amends again. And it's a scary place to be. That's why we always end up having to remake those amends. It's ugly. This 10-step stuff is supposed to keep us clear of this stuff. Skip down a little bit. This is not an overnight matter. It should continue for our lifetime. Not just while you're working the work. Not just your initial time through. Every day. Continue to watch for, here they are, the little things that they talked about, those character defects that they talked about at the end of step 4, the things that we were going to illuminate on that inventory. They're going to ask us at 10, they're going to ask us again in 11. I think Bill thought this was important. Where continue to watch for selfishness, dishonesty, resentment, and fear. It didn't say continue to watch for triggers, for a booze bottle. It didn't say anything like that. It's bringing us back to the stuff that holds us in bondage again. That's the stuff. And then it's going to give us 4 pieces of instruction. This is the only step that I'm actually tearing apart a little bit, piece by piece, so that we can look at it. They're asking us to do 4 things. When these crop up, not if, but when, these crop up, we ask God at once to remove them. 2, we discuss them with someone immediately. 3, we make amends quickly if we've harmed anyone. And 4, we resolutely turn our thoughts to someone we can help. Love and tolerance of others is our code. 4 distinct, declarative pieces of information right there that give us specific information on what to do around a 10th step. There's no gray area, guys. I'm struggling here trying to see it. There's no gray area. There's no fuzzy area. It was just a straight heads-up deal. You got 4 things to do. And so it goes something like this. I'm having words with David on the telephone. David is now one of my suppliers at work, and he's a son of a bitch. And I go, oh, bam, and I hang up the phone on him. Now, I know. I've been around this a while, and I know I don't ever let go of the telephone. When I do something like that, I just hold on to it. And my wife knows what I'm doing. When she'll walk through, she's my business partner, and she'll walk through and go, stepped on somebody again, did you? And I went, yeah, how'd you know? And she says, well, you've been standing there for 20 minutes. It usually doesn't take that long, but I'll hold that dang phone. And then I just pick up the phone. Okay, now say a little prayer. And then I click, 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 call the crusty one, Cliff. He's on the phone, Cliff. I did it again. I stepped right on top of this guy. This is what I did. He says, you know what you need to do? He says, yes, sir. Hang up the phone. Don't let it go. Click, click, click. Call the guy back. No, it's Myers. Sorry. No, don't. Please. Please don't hang up. I'm sorry. I treated you shabbily. I got way too much on my plate. I overreacted. It's not your fault. Forgive me. It's that simple. He says, fine. I hang up the phone. And then I go sweep the floor in the back. I go try to help somebody do something. I go whatever. It doesn't have to be AA related. You just got to get out of self and go do something. Slick, slick, slick. And I'm telling you guys, you will go... Any of you guys remember a time, I'll get you just to say, any of you guys remember a time when you were squeaky clean after a piece of inventory? You did this inventory stuff and you're standing there in the sunlight of the Spirit, and you're taking really deep breaths in the morning, and you just feel wonderful. It's just cleaned up, as clean as perhaps it's been in 30 years, and it feels great. And then day by day, days happen, and this kind of stuff happens. And it's reoccurring. I'm jammed up with the guy at the cleaners, and I just have
coarse words with him, and now my world gets a little narrower over there. I can't go see him anymore. And then I have words with the guy at the little 7-Eleven, and I can't go to that store anymore. And I can't. And day by day, my world does what? It does exactly the same thing it was when I was first coming into this deal. My world had shrunk down to nothing more than my kitchen and my garage. That's it. I couldn't go anywhere else. You see? And there's where I'm heading. It may not look like it. Out of my arrogance and my ego, I think I'm still just fine. I did that great inventory, and I'm squeaky clean, and everything is fine. Every harsh word, everything I say to my family that is a little harsher than it needed to be, everything that I should have done that I didn't do, there's one more little patina between me and God. And then one day I stand up and I realize that I haven't been taking any breaths at all, hardly. I'm back to this shallow breathing stuff because I'm carrying the burdens of the world. The emotional crap is kicking my butt again. And I'm just, you understand? It's that deal. And it's just ugly. I have a fleeting memory of what it was like to be free and clear. And it is painful, painful to see. And the scary part that is, if you'll stay with me one more second, the painful part is that sitting in the meeting, I now become the thing that I dreaded the most. I become a stinking hypocrite because I'm talking to the newcomer about a life of love and a life of this joyfulness with this God of our understanding. And I'm not joyful. I'm covered up with all this crap again. And being a phony in AA is the most uncomfortable thing in the whole wide world. It's a lot like being a phony in church. Oh, I love God. Yeah, right. How come you're cheating your employees and you're cheating on your wife? Mm-hmm. Cool. And it happens just like that in AA. It's exactly the same kind of thing. And then we wonder why we're becoming less and less effective with the guys that we're sponsoring. Why are they kind of discounting us? Why is it I don't want to embrace the new guy when he comes in and I see he's new and I see him looking at the floor? Why is it I go like this, or somebody else will get him? Because deep down inside, in the darkest part of the night, I know that I'm a phony. You see?
That's why guys blow their brains out 10 years sober.
Absolutely. Chuck, I'm sorry, buddy. Did you have a comment?
Now it says someone not always get a hold of your sponsor. You still need to talk to someone.
Surely.
To get it settled.
Surely. Absolutely. You bet your life, man. That's all I got. That's why we do a little deal in the Hill Country called Mad Dogs with the guys in my sponsorship lane, just so that everybody gets to know everybody that's involved with us, so they know who to go to. If they can't reach me, buddy, call somebody else. We've got some of them in the room today. And that's what it's about. It's about the accountability. That's a good question. Somebody back there?
I have a question and maybe it's a comment. I'm not sure
if it has a question mark at the end of it, it's a question.
My concentration is not on the new person coming in the room with their head down. My concentration is on sharing my experience, strength, and hope, and having somebody approach me to sponsor them based on something I've said, to where there's an emotional connection. So I feel like I can't really... That's why I think I've been successful, and I don't know. What do you think?
Next question.
Therefore, when approached by those in whom the problem has been solved.
I just keep going back to it. What does the literature tell us? What does the literature tell us? What does the literature tell us? What does the literature... Just, we go to them.
Seek out.
Seek out. Mm-hmm. See, my heart is exactly what you're saying. You're not doing anything wrong. It says, but my heart, when I see somebody come in the door, I don't know about you guys, but my heart, it says, Chris, he's uncomfortable. And then I just make a decision, a choice, whether I'm going to sit there, let somebody else get them, because I've got too many. I sponsor a boatload of guys. And you with me? Or am I going to get up, take my responsibility seriously, and go see if I can help that guy? Doesn't mean I got to grab him as a sponsor, you know, but I do have to be responsible to make sure that the hand of AA reaches out when somebody else comes in. And so I keep doing that. Unfortunately, God seems to want me to stay up to my ass in alligators with new guys to work with. You know? My prayer is always, oh please God, don't anybody come see me tonight. Don't phone ring when I'm cranky. God, ask Patty, you know. And they think, hey, what's shaking? You
know. What do you consider overload number of people sponsoring? I believe you can get so many people that you can't really be as effective.
We're going to talk about it in the next hour. Let's just try, to keep anything on 10 and 11? 11th step? We'll do that in smoke, and we'll take the next hour doing 12th step, because that's what it's all about, guys. That's the goddamn gravy. 11th step. You're supposed to be praying and meditating. Daily. Get up in the morning and talk to God. Not in the bathroom. Talk to God. Get someplace quiet, or you can get still for a minute. At night. You know, you go over your 10th step stuff. Prayer and meditation out throughout the day. How many times a day do you think at that hospital I say, God help me? You know, somebody on the counter tapping, you know, with a candy bar. Hey! I got a guy that's trying to commit suicide on the phone. It's like, God help me. You know, I go through the day, I ask God's protection. Right? Don't do that to me. Got anything?
No, we'll do it next hour.
Let's smoke. Cool. Smoke. Quick. 5-10 minutes, guys. Let's go get the crank.
Yeah.
Well, huh?
Well,
Joe,
you
got
to
grab
the same stuff.
Worth pause.